in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to the Glory Dome, the Lord's Gardener, Abuja. We give you the honor and the adoration. Hallelujah. Come up hither. Jacob's encounter. Our objective today will be to understand the results of Jacob's encounter and also to understand the reasons for Jacob's encounter. Genesis chapter 28. I will read Let's look at chapter 27 first. And from verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away. Those few days became 21 years. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Esau was planning to kill Jacob. And Rebekah said, why should I lose two of you the same day? The killer is also a dead man. If Esau killed Jacob, Esau also died. Why should I lose both of you the same day? So he sent Jacob away. From verse 10 now of chapter 28. Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. Back up again, verse 11. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone of that place, the stone that he had put for his pillows, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. All right, let me read that passage. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. We just read the story of Jacob. We don't need to go into the detail of all that happened between Jacob and Esau. But in the story we saw that Esau was mad. And the only consolation he had was that Jacob should die. How many of you know that we live in a world where some people wish you dead? How many of us here are aware that there are people who are surprised that you are still alive? And Jacob was on the run. And he came to a place and he had an encounter. Only one encounter from God changes the life of a person. Only one encounter from God can rewrite a life's history. Only one encounter from God can alter the course of destiny. Only one encounter from God can change a man's outcome in life. There are so many of us seated here today that what we need is not more money. It is not more connection. It is not even necessarily more certificates. The certificates are good. But most importantly, just an encounter. In those days in the university, we prayed endlessly for divine encounters. What did this encounter do for Jacob? I'm going to mention just five things. Number one was the relief of weariness. The relief of weariness. Jacob was weary, exhausted from the terror of Esau, exhausted.
You are holy. be lifted up, Lord.
From all danger.
Highly lifted up, Lord. You are glorious.
And the weariness was multiplied by the
you
fact
are able, Lord,
that he had not wearied.
You are faithful.
He laid on the bare ground.
You do great.
At the end of the hot day. And for those who are familiar with the desert, it is said that the desert is so hot in the day.
Master bless the
because there are no trees that will break the rays and the heat of the sun. It's so hot
you
in the
day
and so cold you in the rain because the sand cannot retain the heat and because the wind blows directly without anything breaking. So he had passed through a hot day and here he was in a very, very
cold.
No shelter. How comfortable was such a sleep?
Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Will you be
there
standing on your feet?
I don't know who came here today exhausted. You are spiritually drained. You are financially exhausted. You are maritally exhausted. Everything around you is just tired. I came anointed by the Holy Ghost to let you know that weariness is arrested right now. He's not speaking to anybody here at all. In the name that is above every name, there are some that are here almost about to give up. Give up on life. Give up on ministry. Give up on your destiny and give up on everything. I am here to announce to you today, one encounter is going to give you a turnaround. Shout the loudest, amen. Listen to this. Take your seat and just listen. This is what is very, very touching. The sun had set, but the journey hasn't finished. I don't know if you know the meaning of that. The sun had set, but the destination has not been reached. Has finished, but goal not achieved. There are so many people in life and ministry seeing their time passing and yet seeing nothing achieved. The year came and the year passed and goals not achieved. Another year is starting and it's about to pass. Nothing achieved. The sunset is equal to time. Time is happening and change was not happening. At that point, there was an encounter. Is God speaking to somebody here at all? It is not in the will of God that you have age without change. It is not in the will of God that you have time without a turn. That devil is a liar. Hear me, beloved brothers and sisters. I am talking about where you have effort without effect. Yes, effort plus effect negative. Where you have the input, but there is not the output. Am I speaking to somebody here? Where the money is being spent, but the goal is not being achieved. Is God speaking to somebody here? How can it be that you are doing the right thing and yet not getting the right result? It leads to weariness. It leads to weariness. I am here to announce and to attack every spirit of delay, every spirit of wastage that is wasting your life and wasting your time, wasting your money, wasting your energy, wasting your resources, and wasting your destiny without commensurate result. It expires today. Say the loudest amen. loudest, amen. Say the loudest, amen. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, at sunset, I must reach the goal. At sunset, I must hit the mark. At sunset, I must arrive at where I am going. Take your seat. I don't know who came here today and the sun set for you. Premature sunset. Sunset. Sunset for you. When you were about to start, then it became dark. There is so much work to do, yet there is not enough light to do it. There is so much to do, yet not enough resources to do it. Sunset, yet I haven't reached. The month has not finished, the money has finished. Too much month at the end of the money, instead of much money at the end of the month. Too much month at the end of the money. Too much work to do, yet the money has expired. Shaga latefeke bagadalalash. I am here to announce today that kind of situation expires. God is going to give somebody an encounter in the course of this service, an encounter overnight that will cause you a relief from weariness, a relief from weariness. I don't know the pastor that is getting tired of pastoring, or the businessman that is getting tired of business, or the ministry person getting tired. Maybe you are here now. Maybe you are watching via the satellite or the internet. I prophesy to you, my God and your God is visiting you now. Take your seat. In the presence of the Lord. It was relief. The relief of weariness. And I don't care how long you have been exhausted. Just one encounter will pick you up and move you forward. Number two was the release of light. In the midst of the night. That was what the encounter did. The sun had set. The night had come. And now, God did not allow him to be swallowed by the night. The worst thing that can happen to anyone's life is to be buried in the night. Swallowed by a night. What is the night? The night is a season of isolation. Nobody talks of too much visitations and fraternizing and socializing in the night. Nighttime most times are seasons of isolation. Times when at times people leave you alone. Night times are seasons of minimal action, minimal activity. Activities slow down. Most offices don't function at night. You know that there is a night in your life where things don't seem to be working anymore. Where a lot of things slow down. There seem to be a stasis. Night times are times of confrontation by the forces of darkness. Where the altars of your father's house told you, where do you think you are going? Who told you that anybody can be a pastor from this family? Who told you that anybody can be a Christian from this lineage? That devil is a bastard liar. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Where territorial powers vowed. And some people think that when we talk about witches, we are only talking about Africa. No, sir. When we talk about occult, we are only talking about Africa. The most dangerous witches are in the Western world. I can tell you that. Not just Africa. Just Africa. Powerful occult realm. Yes, some of them recognized by legislation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And maybe you came and you are in the night time, but I have good news for somebody. It has been proved through our scripture that the seasons of the night are also seasons of the light. The meaning of that is that most times God intends to release revelation in the midst of desolation. Revelations many times are attracted by desperation. Seasons of isolation are seasons of visitation. That was why the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled with him a man. Our challenge is that we can be so distracted by the night until we lose the light. So depressed by the confrontation until you miss the revelation. So frustrated by the isolation until you are not able to get the direction. Is God speaking to somebody here? If you can be sensitive in seasons of desolation, you can be set for revelation. That was why it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw something. Am I communicated? When it appeared like things were not working, that is when God is about to show something. I don't know who God is speaking to here today, but I announce to somebody here, in the season where you are, by a divine encounter, a revelation is coming your way. That amen can be better. 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 I want to say something, and I don't want you to forget it for life. I don't want you to forget it for how long? The Bible said he lighted on a place. That is accidentally arrived on a place. A place where there was a ladder set from earth to heaven. If he slept 1 meter away from that place, it would be a different matter. If he went 1 mile ahead of that place, it would be a different story. He happened on the place. He lighted on the place. He accidentally arrived on the place. Look at your neighbor, say, I don't think this was an accident. A celestial terrestrial junction. A place where heaven kissed the earth. A portal. That is why there is light in the midst of the night. And this is what I want to say. In the midst of adversity, there is always divine activity beyond human visibility. In the midst of adversity, such as the type that Jacob passed through, there is always divine activity beyond human visibility. The meaning of that is, in the midst of every situation, there is a move of God in the realm where you see nothing. In the midst of every situation, there is a move of God in the realm where you see nothing. Jacob thought he arrived there by accident. And God is saying, you didn't arrive here by accident. For the steps of a good man are ordered. I was the one who ordered your step. I calculated it. I arranged it. I made you to move at the right space until you arrive at the place at sunset. If the sun had set before this time, you'd have slept in the wrong place. If the sun has set before, after this time you'd have slept at the wrong place. But I am orchestrating your life. I am here to tell somebody, God is saying to you, don't be discouraged. Things may not have happened the way you wanted, but I am orchestrating your life. I even orchestrated your life to come to this place. And you are about to have an encounter that is changing your life. You believe that that is true. Give him a 60-second shout of victory. Go. Shout. Give him a shout of victory. 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 A shout. The Lord said I should tell somebody. He said you needed the threat of Esau. Otherwise, you wouldn't have located your Bethel. Some people that the devil has tried to work against you, and God is saying you needed that walking. You needed that walking because he wants to take the devil by surprise. He wants to hit the devil below the belt. I don't know who God sent me to hear tonight, but God is about to take the devil by surprise, to take the witches and the wizards of your family by surprise, to take the ancestral curses by surprise, to take the witches and the wizards by surprise. Somebody shout power! Before you sit down, help me walk to 14 people. Shake their hands and tell them God is about to take Esau by surprise. To take the devil by surprise. To take the witches, the wizards by surprise. Go ahead. Mahashadadash. I want you to blast in tongues for the next 60 seconds. Liketeke bagadaga lagayada hashadish. Lekite lifreti da line merahash. Blast in tongues for the next 60 seconds. Leketa balata ta feretedish. Leketida fidelete ferene menaya. Blast in tongues for the next 60 minutes, 60 seconds. Lagayayayayayayayahasha. Letifadi letifedila. Leteke frede lahasha. Latefeteke sinime. Ligabara. Sanada, lete fete sada, lata frata sata, leke teke liberaha, lata frata sada, leke ke shada bahala, la parada sanagalasta, le fere tini bidasha, leke stelina mara, tadabalosa, tadabalosa, libere menaya, leke ste minogolafi, minogolafi, nemile gayarish, le pepere ne de halala, la tese le frina magalash. La galasha menina galaya teles le pepere negadile pero da yalasha la teke verina mananahasha la tafara da hakasta la tafara tapalama shata ta 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 ta. Oh, hallelujah. There are many of us. The time will come very shortly. I've said it before. where you will be almost tempted to thank the devil. For what? For everything he did against you. Because if not for him, your eyes wouldn't have opened. For pushing you to prayer and fasting. Hey! For making you more spiritual, more fireful, more aggressive, more ferocious in the realm of the spirit, and more spiritual. And what he meant for evil, God turned it around for good. When I was to go to the university, I had all the qualifications. But for a mysterious reason, I was denied entry for 1 year. I stayed at home for one full year with good results, with everything. I was frustrated. What is happening? What's going on here? Within that 1 year, I went through a spiritual training that no Bible school could have offered. I went through a spiritual ruggedization. I became ferocious in the spirit. That 1 year was my Bible school. In the school of neology. Neology. Lagabagadagalagaya. I lock up myself for 7 hours, for 10 hours, for how many hours? 7 days, no food, and hours, minimum of prayer, 7-10 hours, just endlessly. I saw depths in scripture that has not left me within that 1 year. And I want to thank the devil if he had a hand in it. For delaying me for 1 year. When I got to school, I went to another university. Not the one that I had earlier wanted. There I met my wife. If I had gone straight, we would have missed each other. I don't know who I would have been married to by now. And the situation may be different. Or totally different. Am I communicating at all? I am anointed to announce to somebody what the devil had planned for evil in your life is going to catapult you to a realm of glory. A realm of glory that will amaze you. It will amaze you. It will amaze you. Tell somebody by your side, tell them, get ready for revelation. Get ready for revelation. Get ready for revelation. Get ready for the light. In the midst of the night, take your seat. You know, the third thing that the third thing that the divine encounter did for Jacob was the release of angelic activity. The release of angelic activity. Genesis chapter 28 and in verse 12 and verse 13. He dreamt, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending, and the angels were descending. What a troop of angels! And I'm sure you know that ladder was Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know that. You know that, right? Jesus is the one who connects heaven and earth. He's the intersection between humanity and divinity, between the celestial and the terrestrial. And he said it with his mouth. That ladder you saw, Jacob climbed, I am the one. In John chapter 1, verse 51. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the ladder. John chapter 1 verse 51. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open, the same way the heaven opened for Jacob, and the angels of God will be ascending and descending upon the ladder. He just wanted to let them know, I am that ladder. In case you are not sure of who I am, the ladder Jacob saw, I appeared for Jacob as a ladder, as a revelation to Jacob, and to show humanity that when you have an encounter with God, you will have an open heaven. Oh God. I speak, I announce, I prophesy to somebody today. Over your life, there shall be the same opening of the heavens. That amen is too paralyzed. Over your life, there shall be the same ministry of the master. Over your life, there shall be the same angelic activity. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat. There are too many things to say, but there is no time. Hello. One encounter can make the master real in your life. One encounter can position the ladder by your life. And the aim of the ladder is to cause angels to ascend and descend. One encounter with God places you under a perpetual open heaven. And when the heaven is open, the earth opens. When the heaven opens, your life opens. When your heaven opens, your destiny opens. By one encounter. And you know that angels are relevant for revelation. Angels are relevant for preservation. Angels are relevant for supplies. Angels are relevant for protection. Am I communicating? Angels are relevant for defense. Angels are relevant for war. Everything that you think about spiritually has the angelic ministry have a hand in them. And God is saying, I can give you an encounter that position angels around your life. Do you know that after this, angels never left Jacob? You look at the life of Jacob. The dream that delivered him from Laban, an angel gave to him. In Genesis 31 and in verse 11, he said, and the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. From the day the ladder was set up and the heavens opened, angels never left him. And the angel spake to him in a dream and gave him the wisdom to deal with Laban. You know, Jacob had two encounters. The first one is what we are talking about now, the one where he was running from Esau. He had a second encounter when he was running to Esau. That is Genesis chapter 32, when he wrestled with an angel because he was afraid of Esau. The first encounter, he was on the run from Esau. The second encounter, he was running into Esau. They told him Esau is coming. And he told God, Lord, help me, I fear him. He may revenge now. But before he ever met Esau, he met angels and had an encounter. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Not one, not two, not three. The angels of God met him. The angels of God met him.
And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. They were many, a battalion. And he called the name of that place Manahem. I am sure when he saw them, his mind calmed down. He saw it's a walkover. A legion, a troop of angels.
And then in verse 24, he began to wrestle with the master angel, maybe Jesus himself, until
he left there, and the next thing he saw was Esau. One encounter positioned angels.
And they never left him. Jacob was a man who fellowshipped, interacted, intermingled with angels at will. You remember when he was blessing the sons of Joseph in Genesis chapter 48, verse 15 to 16. He was making reference to the angel, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless this lad.
What kind of man of angels is this? One encounter. When angels are absent, demons can be plenty. Light and darkness don't coexist.
Maybe the reason why there is so much demonic activity around that life or ministry is because of the scarcity of demonic of angelic beings and God himself. There are people seated here. From this moment forward, the ministry of angels shall be visible in your life. That amen can be better. Shout a louder believers, amen. Shout the loudest believers, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I connect today with the ministry of angels. I receive the encounter that will usher me into the realm of angels. Shout the loudest, amen.
Take your seat. But before we leave this point, I want to let you know that there is an order for angelic ministry. It's confirmed twice. Genesis 28, verse 11 and 12. He confirmed it twice. Verse 12 now. And he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descend. They only descend where they ascend.
In John chapter 1 verse 51, Jesus also said it.
You will see the angels ascending and descending. People are expecting angels to descend where they have not ascended. Bring angels from heaven. Let them minister to me where they have. It is after they have ascended that they can descend.
And they are around us right now.
What causes them to ascend? Words. Worship. Praise. Prayer.
They ascend with requests and descend with results. They ascend with words and descend with wonders. He said that the angels hearken to the voice of his word. Psalm 103 verse 20. They hearken, they excel in strength. Bless the Lord, he is angels that extend in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. If you want angels to ascend around your life and descend, fuel them, impact them, decree, worship, praise, pray, let your utterance contain the right words. The right words move them up. And as they reach up, they return down with the right results. Take your seat. Around our life, angels move a lot. Some of you, you have eyes, you can see them. Plenty of them. You are right there. The other day, I ran into one just on this altar here. I think I told you. All the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Angels. Angelic activity. And I can tell you, provided you can have this angelic encounter with God that will make the ministry of angels real, there will be the death of fear. People wonder how we preach the way we preach and talk the way we talk and act the way we act. You know that all the billions of... I told somebody sent a text message of, oh, the person was afraid for us in case because of the kind of agitation and all manner of things that the devil is agitated about. And the person is just a bit afraid. And I sent back a text. I said, Lucifer, their father, fears us. That is the father of witches and wizards and all the occult. It doesn't match us. So calm down. His children are small boys. Between the lion and the cub, who should I fear? Between the lion and the baby lion, who should I fear? Now, I am not afraid of the lion. You want me to be afraid of the baby lion? If you see the devil, ask him. If for any reason, if you ever run into him. Am I communicating at all? One night I saw a revelation. Some people surrounded me about to fight me. And I was about to rush at them. Suddenly, a man stood beside me and said, give space. And I stood by the side. And he moved his hands once or twice. And everybody was on the floor. I looked at him. I said, who are you, sir? He said, I am the angel sent to fight your battles. Clear, clean clarity. And I wake up in the morning, you want me to be afraid of lizard? You want me to be afraid of antelope and snake and afraid of... Somebody lift up your right hand and say, Father, I connect with encounter, with divine encounter, to change my life, to change my destiny. I connect it now. Take your seat. What did the divine encounter do for Jacob number 4? It was number 4, the promise of a guaranteed future. The promise of a guaranteed future. Where God came to tell him, look, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for your seed. Where you are lying down is yours. And it is not just yours, but also your children's. I have a plan for your destiny. I have a plan. It was the guarantee. The promise of a guaranteed future. He was in a season of uncertainty. I just left my father's house. I am going to a place I have never been before. I am running from danger. I don't know whether I'm running into danger. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what lies ahead of me. I don't know what the future holds. And God came and told him, my eyes are upon you. Lord, all of my hope is in you. My eyes are upon you. Lord, all of my hope is in you. I cannot fear what the future holds, for you hold my future in your hand. I cannot fear what my future holds, for you hold my future. Sing, my eyes are upon you. Lord, all of my hope is in you. Sing, my eyes are upon you. Lord, all of my hope is in you. I cannot fear, Lord.
I cannot fear what the future holds. For you hold the future in your head.
I cannot fear what my future holds.
I cannot fear what my future holds. For you hold my future.
Little boy, let me let you know that you are okay, okay? Your future is guaranteed. Where you are lying now, you'll return back one day, it will be yours. And then it also belongs to your children. How many of you know that prophecy preserves destiny? If God has said it, you are not permitted to die. Prophecy preserves life and destiny.
If he said your seed
shall inherit, it means no devil can stop you from having seed. It means no force on earth can prevent you from having children.
Is God speaking to somebody here? The reason why God speaks into your future is so that no devil can kill you in the present.
Let me speak into somebody's future by the voice of the Lord. If Jesus tarries to come in the next 10 years, your life would have been more than 10 times bigger than where you are now. Shashka!
Somebody shout power.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
Maybe you came here in uncertainty. Maybe people told you you will amount to nothing. And it looks like what they said is coming to pass. Because you are experiencing things you don't understand. I am here with a superior mantle to make superior utterance. Since they did not create your life, they cannot define your destiny. Since they are not your maker, their mockery will never stand. A major mantle of my commission, our commission, is to restore human destinies. That is to make people be what God had in mind for creating them. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. Whatever was in the mind of God for your creation, I announce it shall come to pass. Say that amen like a believer. What was in the mind of God for your creation? No witch, no wizard, no power of darkness can stop it. Shout yes!
God speaking to somebody here? Lift your right hand and say, I shall reach the goal. I will not miss my mark. I shall hit the target. I cannot fail. I cannot falter. I shall fulfill my days. And now say after me, my life matters to this generation. Say, I, Paul Enenche, call your name. I, Paul Enenche, matter. I matter to this generation. 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 Give the Lord a 60-second shout of victory. Shout of victory. Shout of victory. Shigalayayayayayayash. Give him the shout of victory. In the name of Jesus. I don't know the reason why you came here. But that devil will never be able to abort your destiny. What God planned for you to achieve this year that you have not yet seen, before the 31st day of December, this same year, you shall experience resolve. You shall experience resolve. You shall experience the resolve. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. It's all right, and I say, Father, I receive the divine encounter. Father, I receive the divine encounter. I receive it now. Finally, first it was the relief from weariness. The relief of weariness, the release of light in the midst of the night, the release of angelic activity, the promise of a guaranteed future, and five, the guarantee of divine protection. The guarantee of divine protection. Genesis chapter 27. Verse 41. Esau was pursuing him. Esau hated him and he vowed that he would kill him. And then in chapter 28, verse 18. Alright, back up a little bit to verse 14. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, Esau notwithstanding. and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Shout the loudest amen. Behold means look.
Hi.
When God provides, he defends. And when God guides, he guards. He guards those he guides. He will not guide you and not guard you. So divine direction attracts divine protection. Even divine provision attracts divine protection. He does not waste his investments. He said, Jacob, calm down. Esau is not your problem. Face me, I will face him. So, Genesis chapter 31, verse 40, all the way to verse 41. He said, thus I was. In the day, the drought consumed me, and the frost by night. And my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus I have been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters. He was recounting the sufferings he had in Laban's house. How in the day and night he suffered, but no animal could touch him. In Genesis 31, verse 7, he said, and your father has deceived me. He was talking to the children of Laban. And changed my wages 10 times. But God allowed him not to hurt me. That is, it was in the heart of Laban to hurt Jacob. But God came to him and said, Kai, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. When God helps you, people may hate you, but they can't hurt you. The help of God will attract the hate of man, but not their hurt. So don't be afraid that they hate you, because God is helping you. Don't be afraid of the hate. And also don't be afraid of their heart. Is God speaking to somebody here? Am I speaking your mind? Who is he? When did he start? How old is he? What is this? How is he the only one? Why? Why is he there? How did he? What happened? This and that. They may hate you, but they can never hurt you. I am speaking to somebody here by prophecy that I said, they may hate you, but they can never hurt you. They can die hating you, but they can't scratch your hair. You know what I'm talking about? They may hate you, but they can't hurt you. They can harm you. Pray in the spirit for just 1 minute. Let your friend take a tequila paradakada. Shaka lakatara kakashada. Shakoko prakataka shakalala. Let a fretita kalata fratata kakashatish. Zato koprekete kete kelite frekete kakashatish. Let a ferina galana gabarata kashatash. Lakito baratani kalakatara dada. Leka frekataka sakataka lalababa. In
In Jesus' name. Take your seat. Do you remember what God told Jacob? I will be with you whithersoever. That is, you find yourself in India. You don't know anybody there. Relax. You found yourself in inner city Chicago. And some rough guys are trying to mess up. Calm down. You found yourself. Can you place it on the screen? I am with you. I am with thee. I will keep you in all places. Not just where Esau is. Not only Esau. In all places. In all places. Any location, any address. You found yourself in the world. This is a revelation for somebody. In all addresses in the world, the most witchcraft infested places on earth, the most drug infested places on earth, the most crime infested places on earth, the most cult infested places on earth, I am with you. Do you know what that did to Jacob? He moved with authority. Take your seat. Let me give you one example of his protection somewhere. Genesis 35 from verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go to Bethel, and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings, and which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed. I will be with you wherever you go. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. Cities. And they did not pursue. They did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. The pursuers knew where to pursue. They had a boundary. They had a limit. They had an embargo. That is, not everybody is pursuable. Not you, not your sons, not your children, not your daughter, not your father, not your mother, not your brother, not your sisters, not everybody related, connected, associated with you. And they did not pursue. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. I am that I am, there is no one like you. Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. I am that I am, there is Chineke kiwe onye dikadi
malite nogugu eze
onye dikadi papa mo Chineke kiwe
onye dikadi malite nogugu
eze
onye dikadi.
Take your seat. Is God calming somebody's mind down? There are those who feel very afraid of the prosperity or the success that that God is bringing them. And they say, oh, enemies are too many. That is prophesied. It's prophesied. Thou preparest a table. Not in their absence. If they were absent, that table would not be important. The impact of the table is the appearance of the table despite the enemies. Prepare us a table. So, it is expected. It's expected. But he only said, Job, the people that are angry with you are many, but I have placed a hedge around you. Job chapter 1 verse 10. I who provide also defend. About your house, about all that you have on every side. Take your seat. If I stop here, I have already over preached. You have no devil to fear under heaven. Belente the agent. Not to talk of the agent. Take your seat. I'm sorry I use a vernacular word. Somebody give the Lord a shout of victory. A louder shout of victory. The loudmost shout of victory. Take your seat and we are going to pray right now. So you need an encounter. Divine encounter. The Jacob order of encounter. That will make all these things happen. You are exhausted. You have reached the night but not reached the goal. And he said, I will deliver you from that weariness. But what is the secret? Number one, value for the spiritual. Value for the spiritual. That was the secret number one. Of Jacob. People talk about Jacob in many, many terrible ways. They talk about how fraudulent Jacob was, how deceptive Jacob was. And I don't want to talk about that because I know that God is never unrighteous. Because if Jacob was as terrible as people made Jacob to be, God will never have released any dime of blessing on him. But there was something God saw in Jacob that people never saw. When he said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, most people become angry. How can he say, before the children were born, he chose Jacob and he rejected Esau? We say, God is partial then. Then it means God wants me to go to hell then so I can't reject his will. Nothing like that. God made that choice based on the future he saw. He saw their character ahead. He saw the Esau behavior ahead. He saw the Jacob behavior ahead. And on the basis of that, he made his conclusion. Do you know that in the house of Jeroboam, when God was cutting off the house of Jeroboam, he spared a little child. He said, that baby in the house is the only one that I will not cut off. You know what he said? Because in him, I have found something good towards God. How can God find something in a baby that has not behaved? He has not acted yet. T- Take your seat. And you know what he saw in Esau. Please sit down. Jacob sat down and calculated. I am the second born. Esau is the firstborn. Which means he shall be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. I am out of the equation. No. There is something about the birth position. And there is something about the blessing on top of that birth position. There is something about the covenant. I am going to get, if I didn't get it by birth, I will get it by choice. And he went after it. And he began to calculate. How do I get this thing? And then he realized, Esau loved food. And then he stepped to, he made food ready. And Esau said, I'm hungry, about to die. What a useless statement. Hungry, about to die, in your father's house. I need food to eat. He said, it's easy. If you can give me your birthright. Many of us don't understand that that birthright was not a birth position in terms of inheritance, but a covenant. It was a transmitter of the Abrahamic covenant relationship with God. It was the transmission of whatever grace resided in that family. It was the transmission of God's dealing with that generation. What Esau was trying to sell was not a birth position, but a divine covenant. A transgenerational flow. Hey. He said, I am about to die. And what is this birthright to me? And God heard it. Esau, is it the Abrahamic covenant and blessing you are about to discard? Is it my dealing with your father Isaac that is meant to naturally come on you? You are about to discard? Go ahead. Anybody seeing why God say, Esau have I hated and Jacob I loved? You know the word profane is one of the worst words they can use for anybody. That was the word the Holy Ghost used for Esau. Profane. What you might call area boy in Nigeria. Hebrews 12 and in verse 16. You see what he said? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Vain fellow. Empty fellow. Valueless personality. Profane. Non-entity, vagabond, homeless, valueless, like Esau, who for one plate of food sold his future. How can you handle a temporary challenge using a permanent asset? How can you use it relieve a temporary pressure by trading a permanent treasure? Zero value for the spiritual. Zero value for the eternal. A massive value on the part of Jacob. And God told Jacob, I don't care what name they call you. I like you. You have the ability to see far. You value spiritual things. It looks to me like their mother was aware of the transaction. Because when it was time for Esau to receive the blessing of the firstborn, the mother said, no. Esau is no longer the firstborn. Jacob is the firstborn. And he packaged Jacob. That was the best they could do. Because there is no way they can explain anything to the father. The father already liked Esau. Contrary to who Esau was. And then, he said the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Are you Esau? Yes. Was that answer true? Yes and no. He is not Esau by birth, but he is now Esau by transaction. His name is not Esau, but whatever Esau had is now his. So when God blessed him, the blessing stayed. If it was a lie, God would have reversed it. God cannot bless a lie. Are you Esau? Yes. The answer was both true and not true. His name is not Esau, but his heritage is Esau. Is God speaking to somebody here? That was why God loved Jacob. Please, I beg you, value the spiritual. The things we eat, drink, and drive, they are temporal. Don't sell eternal things for temporal issues. Pastor, don't let what to drive and wear be the struggle of ministry. Or we are to sleep. There is a small place here that we use temporarily as we come on site. Somebody came the other day and said, can you imagine where he is staying and using here and compare it with what he built, they built for God? That is, God's own was superior to his own. We had built big building. The first construction we had before the second one, and this is the third. Because the first one we broke down and then built a bed. I'm sure you remember all. That first construction, we built it while we were still living in one room. A rented boys' quarter. Am I communicating at all? I want you to demonstrate value. Now, I want to give you an assignment to show you how much Esau had no value. For the spiritual, I want you to check from Genesis to Revelation and show me one scripture where Esau raised up an altar. You will never find. And Esau reared an altar and called on the God of his father. Not one. Abraham was a man of altars. Isaac was a man of altars. Jacob was a man of altars. Not Esau. And he wanted God to do something with him. Do you have an altar of relationship with God? Is your altar on fire? What is the level of value you have? What proportion of your time is for prayers and study of the word and worship? What proportion of your resources goes towards God? It determines your value, and your value will determine the virtue you can get from God. Take your seat. Is God speaking to anybody here? I have to round off now. The secret of Esau, number one, I said, was of Jacob was number one. What? Value for the spiritual. Number two is the life of sacrifice. Anything you give to me, the one tenth of it, I will bring back to you. Esau was a man of altars, a man of sacrifices. Sorry, Jacob. Nothing. There was nothing that God gave to Jacob that Jacob was not able to give back to God. On the other hand, you can go through scripture and count the number of times Jacob reared an altar. It was a life of sacrifice. If you have value for the spiritual and you live a life of sacrifices, you will never lack divine encounters. And finally, the spirit of a fighter. That's one of the things that they hated Jacob for. But God loved him for it. The fighting spirit. I'm sure you know he fought from his mother's womb. Rebecca went to God and said the children struggled in her womb. That was Genesis 25. They struggled in the womb. And she went to God and said, why am I so? He said, there are two nations in your womb. And two manner of people. Somebody, do you remember the word manner? Two manner, two types, two character types. So there is the Esau people and the Jacob people. That's a teaching topic for another day. And they shall be separated from your womb, from your bowels. And the elder shall serve the younger. So he started wrestling from the womb. You know the name, why they call him Jacob. Because when Esau was born, Jacob didn't allow Esau to come out. He held the leg. The two of them came together. This one was, the mother pushed. The one came with the head and went down and he held the leg of his brother. He came out with his hand. I don't know why he didn't break his shoulder. Shoulder presentation in medically is an emergency. He held the leg of the brother. I'm sure you have read that before. And they came out together. Somebody say fight continued. Show it. And after that came his brother out and his hand took hold on Esau's heel and his name was called Jacob. Where do you think you are going? Esau, where do you think you are going? Who told you you can go ahead of me? I won't let you go. You can't go ahead. Somebody say fight. Then he fought to get the bet right. Fighting using food. Jacob was a hunter. Esau was a hunter. The Bible says Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. He was calculating. Then he fought to get the blessing. Are you Esau? True. Then he ran. Then he fought to marry a wife. He saw Rachel. He started crying straight. I don't know who, I don't know what offended him. Is this beauty? He cried, so tell he stop. Who beat you? Is this girl? The father-in-law said, what do you want? He said, I want to marry her. Right? Labor for 7 years. Me? Is that the normal bride price? I will fight. He prescribed it for himself. I will give you 7 years labor. He liked to fight and struggle. After 7 years, the man duped him and gave him the elder sister. And in the morning, he realized it was the elder sister. We will talk about that another day. Because that is a serious challenge. Are they identical twins? Another labor for 7 more years. Listen, Laban changed his wages 10 times. He kept on fighting.
You change it this way, I get it this way. You change it this way, I get it this way. See, if the speck could be your wages, until the angel began to assist him and gave him a genetic engineering model, paint the wood. And he took Jacob's, Laban's flock was transferred by fight. Many of us, we are too fightless, toothless. I told my wife, I said, fight is inside my body. I'm telling you. If I was in the Air Force, I would have been a fighter, a jet fighter pilot. You know, one of our church members who is a fighter pilot, he told me about their training. I said, how? What is the difference between civilian pilot and military pilot? He said the difference is, in civil aviation, flying in bad weather is an abomination. They will sanction you and retrieve your pilot license that you took off and the weather is bad. He said, but in military flight, you are trained in bad weather. Bad weather is where you fly because war will not serve you notice. You have to fly even if the weather is bad. Is there any military person here spiritually tonight? The normal pilot fly their aircraft like this. Military pilot can fly it like this. Like this. That is, the pilot's head is like this. His leg is to the side. Then they can fly it like this. That is, his head is down, his leg is up. They can fly it like this. There used to be a pilot in those days that flew the aircraft and passed under the bridge. The Benue River Bridge. Yes. Phew. Military pilot. Fly it on top of the water, under the bridge, and take off. That is the kind of heartless, the kind of ruggedity in the realm of the spirit. We give up too easily. Stand up on your feet. How can an occultic house close down the church and you agreed? Stand on your feet. Or a group of satanic agents, they say they vow that the church will not function and you agreed. They said your life will not prosper, that you will not amount to anything, and you agreed. People may hate the man they call Donald Trump for many reasons, but there is something that is a plus in him. It's called fight. The whole of the media can't handle him. Fight. Just rugged inside. If fought establishment politicians, collapse them. Law professors, about 500 of them signed something. They shouldn't confirm a Supreme Court judge. He overruled it. Hollywood, everybody. Journalists, including the almighty CNN. He would have been gone since. He's not perfect. There are too many things against him. But he was too fightful to be stopped. Be upstanding. And then Jacob fought the final fight. I will not let you go. How can you? You are fighting God again. That was the conclusion fight. After that, no more fight. I
will not let you go. Do you know who you are talking to? I know. Are you commanding me for now? Yes, sir. I will not let you go for the day breaketh. What is the meaning of the day breaketh? Let it break. Let me go for the day breaketh. Let it break. He touched his acetabulum, dislocated the head of femur out of the hip joint. Paralyze the hamstring muscle. This is the strongest muscle in the body. That's why we stand. He weakened it. He was still fighting. Where are you going? He said, you have finally prevailed. I change your name. As a prince, hast thou power with God and with man, and you have. You win. You won. Verse 28 of Genesis 32. You have finally. This is the end of all your fight. There will be nothing under heaven that can stand you anymore, Jacob. Move. And truly, from that day forward, no fight. He prevailed. Struggle ended. That fight. Are you ready for this? Write it down. One fight. What did he do? One fight, number one, terminated the generational curse. Again, let's call it the final fight, terminated the generational curse. I don't have the time to talk about it today because the family of Abraham, even though it was a blessed family, there were some negative things happening. It terminated the generational curse. The final fight terminated the generational curse. Number two, it changed a negative identity. Your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Changed a negative identity. He changed his label. There are people here today, I don't know the name they called you before you came here, but that name is changing right now. Three, the final fight enlarged his spiritual and physical capacity. Like we always say, Jacob is a person, but Israel is a nation. I change you from a person to a nation, from an individual to an institution. It enlarged his capacity. There are people here that you're topo rotoko shoto prata kata 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 that are living here today with an enlarged capacity. Number four, right? Number four, that final fight imparted power for perpetual victory. Power for perpetual triumph. He said, from this moment forward, the devil that can defeat you does not exist. You have prevailed with God, how much less man? You have prevailed with God, how much less demon? And finally, the final fight imparted him with royalty, authority, and dignity as a prince. Royalty, it changed something. It changed the climate. As a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. If we do 15 minutes here of prayer, and I want some of our men on the mic. Lord, shift me to a higher level of value for the spiritual. Move me to a higher level of sacrifice. And then the final one. Impart upon me the spirit of a fighter. Is everybody standing? I saw something in scripture. Have you seen it before? Psalm 89, verse 19. How God loves fighters. He said, then thou speakest in vision to your Holy One and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Stop there. I am asking myself, the man is already mighty. Why are you giving him help? Then I checked the word mighty. In the Hebrew, it was gibor. Also translated warrior. I help warriors. I don't help cowards. I help fighters. Show me a man who has a heart, I will give him the height. Show me a man who has the heart, I will give him the might. I laid help upon one that is might. It is a danger to be a coward. Cowardice in military terms can be judgeable by execution. That is, you are in the war front fighting. Suddenly you turn back and start roaring. You will have a friendly fire. Your co-fighters will fire you down. You are not qualified to be here. Oh, to eliminate fear from the rest. In those days, we used to hear that if a major, a captain or something become too cowardly, they will fire him. The sergeant will carry his whip, his uniform and wear, and command the troop. And wear the rank. Who is bold enough to wear the rank will wear the rank. Am I communicating? I don't know about you, but I need help from God. And if that help is to come, you need to be rugged. Stand up on your feet. We have 15 minutes. Is it too much? First of all, lift your hands and give the Lord the praise. Ushers, ensure that everybody is on their feet. What a day. What a day. Shatatata kalavada. Lift your hands and thank him for the word. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor and adore you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Worship to your name. Adoration to your name. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. In Jesus' precious name, lift your two hands. I'm sure that our men are on the microphone. Say after me, say, Father, today I come before you. To make demands on your help. I want to be relieved. I want to be relieved.
I want to be relieved
of weariness.
Of weariness.
I want light.
I want light
in the midst of the night.
In the midst of the night.
I want to move.
I want to move
in the realm of angelic activity.
In the realm of angelic activity.
I want the promise.
I want the
of a guaranteed future.
Of a guaranteed
I can't live in the midst of uncertainty.
I can't live in the midst of
I want the guarantee of divine protection. Father, I ask for an impartation of value for the spiritual. Value for the spiritual. Value for the spiritual. Open your mouth and pray right now.
An impartation of value.
Value for the spiritual. 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 Value in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands now and make demands on the lifestyle of sacrifice. The lifestyle of sacrifice. The lifestyle of sacrifice. Father, shift my life to a higher level of sacrifice. Are you ready? Lift your hands. Say, Father.
Father.
I receive
a shift up
to a higher level of sacrifice. I receive it now. Open your mouth and pray. The higher level of sacrifice. The higher level of sacrifice. The higher level of sacrifice. A shift up to a higher level of sacrifice. A shift up. Mashana galaya ya 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 ha. Ile merede gazini malala la 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 ha. Ile pera nina magasha. Nina magasha la mana galaya. Ile perena menagila la baranish. Ile perena mama nagalaya la 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 ha. Ile perenine menagila ya la la. A shift up. A shift up. A shift up. A shift up to a higher level. In Jesus' name. Finally, if you have ever prayed before, you want any ancestral curse deleted from your life, every negative identity changed, to receive an enlargement in your capacity to have power for perpetual triumph, to step into royalty, authority, dignity. I'm going to say, Father, give me the mantle of a fighter.
Give me the mantle of a fighter.
The baptism of a fighting spirit.
Deliver
me from cowardice.
Deliver me from cowardice.
In the name of Jesus. I receive the fresh mantle.
The fresh baptism.
Of a fighting spirit.
The spirit of a fighter.
I receive it. Now. Open your mouth and pray.
Yeah.
A fighting spirit. The mantle of a fighter. Deliver me, Lord, from cowardice. Let the Ferene Menagalaga Yaga Dagalaga Yaga Dagalaga Let Ferete Fina Managa Ladi Berene Managa Layadene Meleadasha Let Ferene Mine Le Ferodis Let Ferodis Kelimina Galayadis Galayadis Kelimina Maranas Labara Tekele Nimana Galadis Le Ferri Kalamana Dagalayadas Le Ferra Tela Fira Gadash Gadash Selemi Degele Taradas Le Ferretini Minegalaidas Le Ferri Titi Gala Shena Magalis Le Ferrita Puna Magadaga Setelemina Le Ferrega Digilera La Hosa Le Peberuna Talagara La Hash Le Fira Tosani Delagadis Talagadis Telemene Merida Shena Magalala La Mana Ratana Gilalas Le Ferrina Minagala Teretelidis Teretelidis Kenemenegala Caladida sulla mananas che le veredidas le veridis che le mino solora darami nell'era galaris le fettina nella garidos chi ne me melanas ecca lidas anima magadalas repefedi di de melanis le fredi sinana le teferenega di galalahas le ferenega le galalahas alas In Jesus' precious name, lift your hands high. Fire fall on me like the days of Pentecost. Fire fall on me like the days of Pentecost. Fire fall on me. Something is about to happen. Sing it with authority and brutality.
Fire fall on me. Fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost. Fire fall on me. Yeah. Like on the day of Pentecost. Hey. Fire.
One moment. I'd like you to know the implication of the fire fall. The disciples were apostles, were timid, they were cowards, they were in the hiding. In uncertainty, then the fire fell. I don't know what they did, whether they jumped down from the upper room or broke the door and they were out on the street while and Peter, that was timid, that was a coward, that denied Jesus before the people, stood in ruggedity and aggressivity and said, with wicked hands, you crucify the Lord. When the fire comes, cowardice dies, fear dies, timidity dies. Lift your voice now and sing that fire one more time. So sing it with revelation. Fire. Sing it.
On the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost. Fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost.
Be outstanding. That came upon the apostles and disciples on the day of Pentecost that made them bold, made them fighters, that made them audacious, unafraid of the devil. I want it on me now. God's servant is one man who goes where others run from. War zones, fight zones, hardened grounds. There are very few people like him who pierce darkness. He's one among so many. One who used to be Lester Sumrall, he's gone many years ago. He's one. They pierce darkness. They dare what others dread. He's passing through again, and I would like him to come and speak on your life and declare and decree that that same fire, that same boldness, that same authority, that same capacity to confront the forces of darkness. Go ahead and give the king the praise. Give the king the praise.
I love him. This is one of God's generals. You know, it was many years ago when we were in the other church.
Yes, sir.
And we were having a week of meetings with you.
Yes.
You taught me this song. Fire, 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 fire fell on me. Fire, 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 fire fell on me. On the day of Pentecost, fire fell on me. What an incredible joy it is for God's servant. You may be seated. I didn't plan on being in the service this morning. I'm on my way to the airport. And I dropped in and saw this wonderful man of God breaking the bread of life to you. And I stood over the railing, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Pastor didn't know it. But I saw a vision on that stairway. Anybody believe that God moves in supernatural ways? His wonders to perform? Is there anybody here this morning that came not knowing that God would send his little servant to say goodbye to you? I'm on my way to the airport. Oh, you have that Nigerian look on your face. I love you. I saw a vision. Two men were walking wasn't such a beautiful place like Abuja, but it was a place of gardens, beautiful flowers, and they were traveling from one place to another, and at each place a supernatural manifestation took place. As I walked down these stairs with this incredible apostle, the Holy Spirit again spoke and said, "This morning I have destined to release my spiritual destiny upon my people here in Enugu." Oh my God, my God, my God. Abuja is especially blessed of God. But if the Holy Spirit speaks to people today, you are about to see a release of a manifestation, a powerful, put this in your spirit. This is a prophecy over you this morning. You did not expect it, but God's ways are past finding out. You can't understand all of the ways of God unless what I am about to pronounce on you comes on you this morning. There is a powerful spiritual force. It is about to be released over Nigeria. It will bring about the greatest manifestation of the power of God that the world has ever seen. Somebody take it. Somebody take the prophecy. Oh, Rabba Shanda Rabaka, go ahead, give him praise. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Sabata Rabbanda Nibiyata. I want you to look up here for just a moment. And I want you to take your hands. Let me see your hands. Way up high. Put them on your eyes. Something's about to happen. Something is about to happen. Shapata Sandaloboriaka. God is giving you an infusion. Your eyes are being anointed this morning with spiritual eye salve. Spiritual eye salve. Spiritual eye salve. Thus saith the Lord, you shall see things that you have never seen before, for you are receiving spiritual eyesight, spiritual eyesight, spiritual authority is yours. Oh, Rabba Kaba Sanda.
Let the city liberate you, Zion. Let it be. Help.